I want to use some scripture for a few minutes this morning, and I'll check to see. I promised you 5 minutes off of my time, so we'll get that made this morning. I want to use some scripture out of the Old Testament, 18th chapter of the book of Kings. It's very familiar, but I think every once in a while we just need to be reminded of some of the portions of the Word of the Lord. And I'm not going to read nearly all of the chapter. As most of you have heard me say from time to time, there's only one marking in my entire Bible. I've only written in there one time. And it does happen to be in this particular chapter. And over on the right-hand column, the right-hand page, about halfway down, is the number 63. And for some of you, you would know because you've heard me say before what that is. That's the number of words that Elijah prayed when he prayed the prayer that brought the fire down from out of heaven. And I sometimes use that to indicate to people that it's not how long, how much, how loud that you pray that gets the job done. And we've got some people that kind of like to think, as Elijah mocked the prophets of Baal when they were trying to get the fire to come down from out of heaven. And he'd say, get a little louder. Get a little louder. Maybe your gods are asleep and you need to wake them up. Well, the Lord that I serve this morning neither sleepeth nor slumbereth. And so I don't have to get real loud for him. I get a little loud at times, Stan, but I don't have to get loud for him to hear me. And he hears not how loud my voice is, but what's coming from my heart. And we always need to remember that. That's what God is looking at and listening to, is what's coming from our heart. So it isn't how fancy the words are. When you read Elijah's prayer, there's nothing very fancy in there. There are not too many complicated words in it. And so we don't have to be too holier than thou when we pray. We need to talk to the Lord as the people that we are. But that's not my message this morning. I just happened to look over and see that number 63 written out there, and it is in that chapter. What I wanted to have you think about a little bit this morning is that there was a time when Elijah finally said to the children of Israel, okay, it's time for you to make up your mind what you're going to do. You're going to have to decide what you're going to do. And every single one of us, every day of our lives, makes some decisions. I recognize there are a number of people today who dislike the word decision and think, and it has been misused and abused many times, but every single one of us make decisions every day in our lives. And sometimes we make wise decisions and sometimes we make some that are not so wise. I find myself daily, and sometimes when I think back over, I think, why in the world did I do that or say that or think that? I'm amazed at my stupidity. And there are other times I think, well, you know, I've just got to say thank you, Lord, that you helped me make the right decision to do the right thing for a change. And that's probably something. But we all make decisions every day. You made the decision was whether you were going to come this morning or not. And so you're here. But in this particular case, the people had been swayed by the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves, and they had listened to Jezebel and to the leadership of the country, and they had been misled. And they had gotten away from the Lord. They had forsaken the Lord. Remember in the Word of the Lord that it asked the people at one point in time, so what have you found wrong with me? What have you found wrong with me, the Lord, that you have gone far from me? Now, I would ask you this morning, when you fail to follow the Lord, what have you found wrong with him? I'm sure that I can answer that question. You really haven't found anything wrong with him. The wrong is going to be in you, not him. Because he is perfect. He has never done any wrong. and he's not going to do any wrong. And so the failure, when it comes, is not in him, but in us. But the Lord said, what iniquity have you found in me that you have gone far from me, have followed after vanity, and have become vain? And then he answered it. He said, you have committed two evils. You have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. That's the first thing. And that's the first thing that happens in our lives, is that many times whenever that, before we hardly realize it, we start getting away from the Lord a little farther than we should be as one of his children. And we'll get ourselves in trouble every single time. I guarantee you that. And then he said, the second thing is you've hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Then we try to find a substitute. Now, just let me read to you some of the portion of the word of the Lord, and there are a couple of things that I want you to understand. In the 18th chapter, it says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, now the third year being the third year of the drought. Elijah had gone before Ahab and had said, you know, until I give the word, there's not going to be any rain upon the earth. And until I give the word. And the Lord had already had a conversation with Elijah and told him what to do. And so Elijah had gone down before Ahab and said, until I give the word, it's not going to rain. And then Elijah had disappeared. Now the Lord had taken care of Elijah, and the Lord was providing for Elijah, but he had disappeared, and Ahab could not find him. They had been looking for him for 3 years. They had searched everywhere. They had even they'd made the people swear that they didn't know anything about him, where he was. At the threat of death, if they lied. You know, we hear a lot today about all of the penalties there are for perjury and for our lying and everything. And many times I think probably we think it's a farce. It really shouldn't be, but many times it is. But now I want you to know, Ahab had said, listen, if you know where he is, you need to tell me. We need this old boy back. We're in the third year of the drought now. We're desperate. Our pastures have burned up, and we're in trouble. In the meantime, Elijah is out here and God is providing for him. He's taken him to a widow's house. He's provided water for him. He's provided food for him. And while people are literally starving. But there are some people who have not experienced this. And they aren't the good people. Don't you forever a second think that Satan doesn't always continue to work and he will provide everything that's needed for people to continue to follow him. He has resources available to him the same as God has resources available to him. And so what we have to do is decide which one that we're going to follow. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Now, there were still some prophets of the Lord here, and Obadiah, who was a God-fearing man, he had taken 100 of them, put 50 in a cave in two different places, and he had seen that they were taken care of at the risk of losing his life. But I also want you to understand that Jezebel had also been taking care of about 850 others during this time. So don't you ever for a second think that Satan doesn't have resources available to him to take care and to see what is needed to keep people following him and serving him and doing his will. And he will work just as hard on you as one of God's children as he possibly can, because in fact, because he knows he has already lost your soul, he'd like to keep your life. To get you to live a life that's inconsistent with what the Word of God teaches. He wants you to not have the influence on other people's lives that you should have as a child of God. And he's got the resources available to entice you and to encourage you in ways that are just beyond our comprehension. And don't you think for a second that he won't use them. He will. Now, it's easy for you to sit there and think about other people this morning that this might be applicable to, but let me tell you something. If you're a child of God, it's just as applicable to you as it is anyone else. So what you need to be thinking about is me. Yeah. How's this going to apply to me? How's this going to affect me? And Obadiah comes before Ahab, and Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all fountains of water, and all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. And Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him, and fell on his face and said, art thou my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am he. Or no, he said, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? Now Obadiah says, what have I done wrong that you're going to deliver me into the hands of Ahab? He'll slay me. Now Obadiah's thinking a little ahead. Sometimes I don't think very far ahead. And when I don't, I usually end up getting myself in more trouble than I normally would. Sometimes, people, we just need to think a little bit. It is amazing to me how many people don't use common sense anymore. I don't know what's happened to it. Apparently, there's a shortage of it. We just don't use common sense. When you think about it, why would we not want to serve the Lord? Why would we get away from Him? Why would we even think about, knowing what we know as a child of God and what the consequences are going to be if we follow after Satan, why would we even do that? But I'll guarantee you we'll do it. So, well, I can't help it. Oh, we can help it. We don't want to help it most of the time. We have the decision to make. We have the choice to make. God didn't just lock us up and say, you know what, you can't do anything except what I tell you to. He allows us the privilege and the opportunity to serve Him, but He also allows us to make the choice that we can follow after Satan. I'm talking about us as children of God. Lost people, they don't make it. They've already made their choice. And the Lord, as the Lord thy God liveth, this is Obadiah still speaking, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me, but I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Obadiah said, you know what's going to happen? He said, you're telling me to go tell Ahab, behold, Elijah's coming. I found him out there. I've seen him. I've talked to him. And he's coming back to see you, Ahab. Remember, Elijah said, not going to rain until I give the word, and I'll appear before you. 3+ years. They've suffered. They are done without. And now then, Elijah comes to Obadiah and says, you go tell Ahab, behold, Elijah cometh. Ahab, what have I done to bring this upon me? I know what's going to happen. Just as surely as I'm here, and you and I have this conversation, as soon as I go to tell Ahab, I've been out there talking with Elijah, the Lord, the Spirit's going to come along and take you away someplace that I don't know where you are, and then Ahab's going to have me put to death. Now let me tell you something. We've got a lot of people today who seem to think that the God we serve is a God who just is so good that He's not about to allow anyone to go to hell. Oh, He is good. He is a gracious God. He is a forgiving God. He is an understanding God. He is a loving God. And you can just go on and on and on. And let me tell you something. God allows every single individual to make the choice as to whether they're going to hear Him, whether they're going to believe in Him to the saving of their soul, or whether they're going to continue on their downward road to hell. Every single individual. It's not going to be the church. It's not going to be the preacher. It's not going to be the deacons. It's not going to be the trustees. It's not going to be the Sunday school teacher. It's not going to be the superintendent. Those aren't the people who are going to make those decisions. Those are offices that we have in the church. But they are individuals who have to make the decision for themselves, as I preached last Sunday. And every one of us makes the decision. And Obadiah said, you know what? Lord, come along, take your way, and I won't know where he went. Elijah said, you go tell Ahab, I'm coming to see him. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets? Now listen, Obadiah is still trying to justify himself. Oh, listen, I want you to know, Elijah, what I've been doing while you've been gone. There are some of God's people who think everybody has to know what they're doing. They want everybody to know what they're doing in the work of the Lord. I got myself in trouble here a number of years ago, sitting right back here about where Barbara is, by saying one time to an individual in Sunday school, it's none of your business what I've been doing or not doing when it comes to my pastor. Well, in some respects, I guess it is some of your business to know what I'm doing, especially if I'm doing something I shouldn't be. But I don't really know that you have to know every single thing I do. There are times whenever that I feel like that what I've done or what I'm doing is strictly between me and the other individual, and it really isn't your business. And I suspect there are some times in your life whenever that you feel the same way, that it's not really Kent's business what I'm doing. Now, if you want to share, that's fine. But I don't think that we have to get up every Sunday morning and say, you know what, this is what I did this week, and I want everybody to know what a good servant of the Lord I am. The one that really counts is the Lord. Yeah. Now, sometimes it is important that you know. But not every time and not everything. Obadiah said, listen, do you know what I've been doing while you've been gone, Elijah? Do you know how faithful I was to the Lord? And now that he's going to come and do this to me? The Lord knows what we're doing. Everything. He also knows what we're not doing. You heard me say a lot of times, I'm a lot more concerned about my sins of omission than I am my sins of commission. I'm a lot more concerned of what I've not done than what I have done. Because it's awfully easy for me to say, nope. Yeah. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubles Israel? Yeah, here's a troublemaker. There are times, I'm sure, when you go out of here and say, you know what? I'm tired of hearing that preacher get up there and preach that. He just preaches the same thing all the time. He's picking on me all the time. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'll tell you some of my business that you may not want to know. I've never picked on a single one of you. That don't worry me whether you get picked on or not, but I don't pick on you. I may preach to you. And if God's picking on you, then you better be thinking about Him. But don't be worried about me. I'm not singling you out to pick on you. If I want to pick on you as an individual, I'll come to you as an individual, and I'll do that. So sometimes, maybe. Oh, Elijah said, or Ahab said to Elijah, art thou he that troubled? Are you the one that's causing us all of this trouble? Now listen to the answer. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou And thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed after Baal. Elijah said, I'm not your problem. I'm not the one that's caused all this trouble. You have done it yourself, and I'm going to tell you what you did. When I get myself in trouble, I usually know why I'm in trouble. I don't have to say, I wonder why in the world that happened to me this time. I usually know, Ronnie. Yeah, God lets me know in no uncertain terms. You know, hey, that was wrong. Whatever it is, I feel guilty about it. However it may be, but he lets me know. I don't have to say, I better go check with Ronnie and see whether or not I did the right thing or not on this or that. Lord, let me know a lot quicker than I can get a call into Ronnie. I get a call into him pretty fast sometimes too. But not as fast as the Lord. Art thou he that troubleth Israel? You caused us all the trouble. Elijah said, I'm not the trouble. You are the trouble. And you are the trouble because you have forsaken the Lord. You've forsaken his commandments. And you followed after Baal. You listened to the wrong one. You've been following the wrong one. He said, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel on Mount Carmel. And the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together into Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long before you're going to decide which one that you're going to follow? I will close with saying this to you. A number of years ago, some of you have heard me tell this. I've told it before, I think, here. A number of years ago, the church I was pastoring in Santa Paula decided they wanted me to hold a revival meeting. And I said, okay, I'll do that. And started in the revival meeting, and one night, I felt like my text was, how long halt ye between two opinions? I got up and I preached it, just like I preached this morning. Didn't preach the same thing, of course, but preached it. Felt pretty good about it. Went home, and the next night comes around, and all I can get is, how long halt ye between two opinions? I said, Lord, I preached that last night. I'll preach it again tonight. So I went back to church and I said, my text tonight is how long halt ye between two opinions? I kind of looked around. The Lord just blessed me again and I preached and I went home. And the next day, if I ever prayed, I prayed. You want to guess what? My text for the third consecutive night was, how long halt ye between two opinions? I could not believe it. That third night, there was a lady, though, who had gone home after the first service and went in and started drinking and drank herself into a stupor. She was upset over that text, how long halt ye between two opinions. But she was just mad enough. She came back the next night, and I got up and preached the same text again. She went back home and did the same thing and came back the third night. And when it was time to give the invitation, instead of deciding she was going to go home and drink again, she decided it's time for me to do something about the condition I'm. God works so mysteriously in ways that I never understand. I've never forgotten that. But I all the time, I was worried to death about preaching the same text three consecutive nights. I said, Lord, these people don't think I won't know anything else excepting that one text. I mean, and I didn't. But let me tell you something. Every single one of us here this morning have to make some decisions every day of our lives. We have the opportunity to choose. And don't you, as a child of God, for a second think that Satan won't use every resource available to him to get you to make the wrong choice. Whatever it is, he's going to try his best to keep you in his clutches. As a child of God, you have available to you every resource that you need to do that which is right. And you need to exercise that.